Chapter 16. Zara. A girl screaming. A father run through by a long black sword. Hundreds of red eyes leer from the darkness. Shaking my head, I try to banish the thoughts, not wanting to dwell on the horrific event that had just taken place. My heart aches for the girl who was taken away, and for the horrors these people have had to endure for centuries. The demons have been using them for slave labor, and for whatever else they do with the ones they steal. Take a breath now, Zara, I remind myself. You're safe, for the moment, at least. Sighing wearily, I pull the blanket from around my shoulders and lay it out on the dirt floor before sitting down. Owen follows suit. Both of us, it seems, are overcome by the arduous day and the startling things we've discovered in the wastes. After a few minutes of contemplative silence, I clear my throat. What are we going to do, Owen? I can hear him shrug in the darkness.
I don't know, he replies.
A few days ago I would have sworn that there were no people here on this side of the Ark. I pull my legs up close, wrapping my arms around them. Now we find ourselves living among them, eating their food, and staying as their guests. I shake my head in bewilderment. Real life has a way of being stranger than fairy tales, it seems. He snorts and lies back on the blanket.
Stranger, darker, and more brutal. I was never one for reading fairy tales, but I think at this point I prefer them.
Exhaling softly, I gaze around the dimly lit tent. It's spacious on the inside, a wide circle, large enough for us to stand up in without having to stoop. The walls appear to be a patchwork of animal skins and dull-colored fabric, held together with reeds and splintery timbers. They must be nomadic, I think. Why else would they live in tents and not permanent structures of brick and mortar? Upon further reflection, I realize why this must be. The demons. They must wander from place to place, gathering resources for the horde. The slaves are their labor force, their transient harvesters. A pitiful existence, but an existence nonetheless. These poor people, I whisper, staring off into space. Unable to settle down, to farm and grow. They're constantly under the threat of extermination by the demons and have lost all memory of their ancestors. I feel sorry for them. Owen shifts, trying to get comfortable.
I have a hard time feeling sad for them. They've lost all will to fight back.
I frown at him. Wouldn't you, if you were in their situation? He shakes his head.
Never. I'd rather die than live as a slave.
Easy for you to say, I think, curling up on the hard ground and turning away from him. You've never lived through their experiences. You don't know what it's been like for them. We lie there in silence, the encampment growing quiet outside our tent. In the darkness I try to sleep, but find that I can't keep my mind from turning. The gravity of our situation weighs down on me, crushing me like a physical weight. Where do we go from here? Discovering these wastelanders complicates things. If we do manage to find a way back inside the Ark, do we merely abandon them? How can we justify that, knowing the horrors they're enduring at the demons' hands? They're troubling thoughts, and eventually I push myself to a sitting position, giving up on my attempts of slumber. Owen, I whisper. Are you awake? He grunts and rolls over. Little light filters in through the tent flap, but from what I can make out, he seems to be rubbing his eyes.
Now I am, he mumbles.
Sorry, I reply sheepishly. I can't sleep. Too much going on in my head.
You need to learn from my example, he says dryly. Can't have a lot going on in your head if it's empty to begin with.
I smile faintly as he sits up.
What's the matter? He asks a moment later.
It's just, I begin,
trying to verbalize my feelings. I'm not sure what we should do next. Things seem much more complicated now. He scratches his chin.
What do you mean?
These people, the demons subjugating them. It causes a problem. What do we do now that they're in the picture?
He pauses for a few seconds before responding.
Honestly, I'm not sure it changes anything. Our primary goal is still to find a way back into the kingdom. Being here only ensures that we'll have food and shelter.
But these people need us, Owen. We can't just leave them behind to be abused while we return to the comforts of civilization.
Zara, he begins, his tone mildly impatient. Until today, we didn't even know these people existed. The fact that they're here should have nothing to do with our mission. Remember, our first duty is to protect the realm. Everything else is secondary.
I try not to let myself be annoyed by his callous response. As a ranger, he's been taught to make hard decisions, to deal with life and death in a very literal way. But I can't help but disagree with his definition of duty. The light teaches that all life is sacred, and that it's valuable and worth protecting. The fact that the Wastelanders live outside the borders of the kingdom has nothing to do with whether or not they're worth defending. Discussing this with him will no doubt lead to an argument. If an emotional appeal won't work, maybe a practical one will. You're right about the food and shelter, I reply carefully. But I think that these people can offer us so much more.
He cocks his head to the side.
How so?
Maybe they're the key to getting us out of here, I say. They know this area better than we ever will, and they know the demons as well. If we can earn their trust, perhaps they will aid us with information on how to get back inside the Ark. Silence fills the tent as he considers this. Then he shakes his head.
We can't even communicate with them. And besides, if they knew a way into Tarsinium, don't you think they would have escaped this place long ago?
I'm a scholar and mage, remember? I bet that with a little time, I could learn their language and communicate with them. As for the other thing, I agree. They probably don't know how to get through the Ark, but that doesn't mean they won't have useful information. Perhaps they know the movements of the demons, so we can avoid them. Or they might know where some source crystals can be found. If I could get my hands on a new talisman, I could probably open a hole in the Ark for us to get through. The more I talk about it, the more excited I become. For the first time since being exiled, I feel like there's a real hope for us to return home.
Owen still seems unconvinced.
I don't know, Zara. I don't trust these people. If they're unwilling to defend themselves, how can we expect them to help us? What's to keep them from betraying us to the R'hllar the minute we let our guard down?
I pause for a moment, considering. The young ones among them seem to be more amenable. That one boy, the one who led us here, seemed to plead our case before his elders. He wanted to bring us to his people. And you saw him before he left us, after that girl was taken away? He was angry. Perhaps that anger can be turned to our advantage.
He still seems uncertain, but doesn't object.
I allow the silence to linger, my mind continuing to spin at the possibilities. I'll probably be the first mage in the Conclave's history to translate a living language. How long will it take me to be able to carry a conversation with them? Curse my interest in artifice. I should have paid more attention to Evoker Thomason's lectures on the ancient kingdoms of Bihalia. As the minutes pass, I find my thoughts drifting to darker subjects. Why did the Gorgons take that girl away, I wonder? Was it some sort of ritualistic sacrifice? Or did they simply want to torture her for entertainment? From what I've observed, the R'hllar seem to channel their magic by sucking the life force out of living things, draining them to fuel their power. Is that what they're going to use that girl for? to empower their magic? I shudder at the thought. Owen, sensing my unease, sidles next to me and wraps his arm around my shoulders, his presence instantly calming the worries in my mind. I look over at his shadowy figure and smile, the tension leaving me like source energy after a spell. After a moment, he leans over and kisses me tenderly on the forehead, continuing to hold me like a silent guardian, a companion, a close friend. I'm not sure how long we sit there for, but eventually we lie down beside one another, cuddling in the darkness of our own little world. The warmth of his body seeps into me, lulling me into a feeling of safety. My heart flutters as we lie wrapped in each other's arms, but it isn't long before drowsiness takes over, my eyelids growing heavy. The last thing I remember before drifting off is grinning like a fool, my head rising and falling with his steady breathing as I rest against his chest. After that, the shroud of sleep covers me, engulfing me in comforting oblivion. That is, of course, until the nightmares inevitably come.